That's the number one thing you have to do, is to work on yourself.
What if nothing's holy and everything's allowed?
Because the truth is, you are enough.
I now always go with the heart.
There has to be a better way.
Tell yourself true things about God, not about yourself. God's word has to be your filter, your lens through which you see your emotional responses.
There is a better way. And now your host of The Better Way, this is Libby Glosson.
Been at Bible study or maybe at coffee with a friend, and she started describing herself as someone who's been greatly impacted by trauma. This is a buzzword in today's world, trauma. Maybe you've noticed that word as you've scrolled through social media, and you've noticed Christian counselors borrowing that therapy language from the psychology world, trauma. And maybe you've wondered, is this really the way that God wants us to think about hurt and pain and suffering? Well, when I'm not here talking to y'all, I am a biblical counselor, and I can't tell you how many times I've sat with a dear sister in Christ who's been through real heartbreaking trials that the world might label trauma. And at some point, somewhere, someone has labeled this dear woman as traumatized. And I've had ladies share with me that just having this label applied to them makes them feel trapped or stuck. It's dehumanizing. It indicates you have no way out. Now, don't hear me saying that hard stuff doesn't happen, because bad things do happen. We live in a broken world. Trauma, the question isn't, is trauma real? Because it really certainly is. Bad things happen all the time. This is the impact of sin on the world we live in. There's this growing message out there, lots of popular books and therapy models, that says our experiences, the things that happen to us, are the main things that shape who we are and how we live, how we respond to things, how we function in relationships. The question becomes, what happened to you? And then the answer that we're given is, there's nothing wrong with you. You're just a product of that thing that happened to you, and your body is protecting you. Maybe you've heard the phrase, the body keeps the score. You might know that that is the title of a best-selling book by Bessel van der Kolk, and it's become the go-to explanation for trauma and suffering. But as a biblicist, I want to ask, you should be asking, does the body really keep the score? Or is there a better, more biblical way to understand this? Now, van der Kolk's book argues that trauma isn't just a memory in your mind. It's something that's stored in your body. And he claims that the things that have happened to us in the past get encoded onto our nervous systems, in our guts, in our immune response. So in order to heal, you have to engage the whole body, not just talk therapy or going to see a psychologist, but yoga and movement and body-centered treatments like EMDR therapy or TFCBT, which is trauma-focused cognitive behavioral therapy, some somatic experiencing, and even psychedelic medications. That one's a little bit scary. I think it's worth mentioning here that van der Kolk's book first came out in 2014, and its popularity grew by leaps and bounds during those crazy years of 2020 to about 2022, when everything in our world was turned upside down. When you're forced to sit at home for months on end, you start thinking and ruminating. But more recently, one of my colleagues in the biblical counseling world, Francine Tan, she published a wonderful, thorough, biblically faithful critical evaluation of, does the body keep the score? It's found in the Journal of Biblical Soul Care. I think it's the fall edition of 2023. Now, I don't know Francine personally, but man, did she crush it with her research and evaluation. I am highly recommending that you give this a read, whether you're someone who's faced difficult things or you know someone who's faced difficult things in their life. She goes into great detail, and it's really, really helpful. Now, of course, I'm limited on this show because of time, so I just want to give you a grid to think about this biblically, to think about the concept of trauma, yes, but also to think rightly according to God's word about the horrible things you might have faced in your life. There's no doubt that the things that happen to us do affect us physically, but we need to go back to a biblical anthropology. That's just a biblical view of mankind. Scripture teaches us that we are embodied souls. We are physical and spiritual at the same time. We're body and soul together. But the Bible never says that the body causes our thoughts, our emotions, our immaterial responses to things. The Bible actually says that the soul, the inner person who we are inside, that is the originator of our deepest responses to life, our inner person. So what's going on in our souls is what comes out in our lives. I think you've probably heard me say before, our bodies cannot make us sin. Sorry, ladies, that means no excuses for acting like a crazy person once a month. You can think Isaiah 38 here, King Hezekiah, he's physically sick and he's weeping bitterly, but his body didn't cause his sadness. It gave an opportunity for sadness. His body prompted a soul response, the grief, the prayer that results, and ultimately King Hezekiah trusts in God. So our bodies can influence our feelings, but they don't dictate them. The soul, your heart, your inner man, that's what's responding to circumstances, including what the world calls trauma. So why does this matter so much? If we say the body keeps the score in the way that Vander Kolk means, as biblical Christians, followers of Christ, we are doing something detrimental and more harmful than helpful, because what we do is we risk shifting the responsibility away from the heart. And we start believing that our biology is destiny, that what has happened to us, the things that have come from the external, determines our choices. And then we get into this world of managing symptoms instead of addressing our hearts before God. Proverbs 4:23 says, "Keep your heart with all vigilance." Some other versions say, "Guard your heart, for from it flows the springs of life." And then in Matthew 15:18-19, Jesus says that what comes out of our mouths proceeds from our hearts. The heart is central, not just the body. Yes, our bodies are part of the picture. Suffering is real, and the effects of the fall of man in the Garden of Eden, definitely touch every part of us, both body and soul. So the things that happen to us can definitely leave deep wounds. But our greatest need isn't just relief from symptoms. Our greatest need is actually reconciliation with God and transformation of our hearts and hope that outlasts and overrides and speaks louder than any experience we might have in our lives. Paul, in 2 Corinthians 4, 7-10, he says that we have treasure in jars of clay. Our bodies are weak, but God's power is made perfect in our weakness. Our bodies, yes, may bear the marks of the things that we've been through, the suffering that we faced, the experiences that we've had. But our hope is not based on our bodies or any therapies that might be applied to our bodies. Our hope is in Christ. He's the one who redeems us, both our bodies and our souls, for His glory. The real scorekeeper in this whole game is not our bodies. The real scorekeeper is our Savior. So yes, our bodies may show effects of things that have happened to us, of trauma, but our bodies don't have the right to keep the score because we're not our own. We are bought with a price. Jesus gets to answer for who we are. The gospel tells us that our identity is not in our experiences or our symptoms or our past, but in Christ alone. And he's the one who heals the soul and renews our minds. And one day, he's even going to resurrect our bodies. Heath Lambert says it like this: trauma is real and pain is serious, but the only reliable path to healing is through the truth of God's word, not the inventions of godless psychology. Romans 12:2 urges us to not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of our minds. That's where transformation comes from. Healing comes from God's truth, his word, renewing us from the inside out, not just as we manage physical symptoms, but as we trust Christ to change our hearts. Here's the issue. When we define people, when we define ourselves by what's happened to us, there's no more personal responsibility. And there's the threat that we're going to start seeing ourselves as permanent victims, that we're stuck, that we're trapped. Like my counselee that I mentioned at the very beginning of this episode, I'm stuck in this because this thing has happened by forces outside my control. I have no way out. But is that what God says about us? The Bible is clear. We are both sufferers and sinners at the same time. Yes, we are wounded by others. We are impacted by the sin of other people, but we're also responsible for our own responses. So what does this look like? The secular solutions versus the biblical hope. I want to give you a greater grid to think through here so that you can assess all the things that the world throws at us through a biblical worldview so that you'll be equipped to filter through God's word. More on that after the break.
And we'll be back with more from Libby Glossett in just a moment. As she measures, the body keeps the score against what scripture actually says about the heart. Look, if you're looking for help that not only begins with the Bible, but that stays with the Bible and refuses to drift, look, that's the reason that Fortis Institute exists. Our library, which is not a static library, it is a growing library. Hundreds of hours of audio and video content available there right now, with more being added every single day. That library is built with one guardrail in place, and that is that God's word leads. Everything else follows. Every single resource that we produce is there for you to consume because it submits to the authority and sufficiency of Scripture, not to the trends or therapeutic slogans. So when you go to Fortis Plus, you can search for topics like suffering and fear and forgiveness. And what you'll do is you'll land on content that will help keep you rooted and anchored to Christ. Add Fortis Plus the same way you install any other app on your smartphone or your smart TV, or you can simply go to fortisplus.org. There's no charge to use it. As I said, it's absolutely 100% free. We keep that gate open on purpose because our gospel partners, who are regular people just like you, want biblically based content to reach believers in more places all over the world without any type of barriers, no paywalls to stand in the way. If our ministry has helped you, if it's helped you grow, and you're faithfully giving to your local church already, which is your number one giving priority, that comes first. And if you're doing that, would you consider joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner so others can also access this content freely? Everything you need to know about what it would look like in your life to become an ongoing monthly gospel partner is available right there at fortisinstitute.org. All right, let's return to Libby Glossett now. She's going to continue to contrast therapeutic claims with the hope and clarity of God's word. This is the better way. Welcome back to The Better Way. Now let's turn down the world's noise and get back to The Better Way with Libby Glossett.
So I was sitting here thinking while Jimmy was talking and realizing that I probably needed to make a clarification. Friend, if you have gone through something horrible and awful that the world would call trauma, what I'm talking about today is not meant to minimize what you've faced. It's actually to give you more hope than the world could ever give, given what you have walked through. What the world offers is kind of a halfway hope. It's a false savior. It's not a lasting hope. It's just not the good news that the Bible gives. This is not about what you have actually gone through. It's about how you get to respond if you are a believer, if you're a follower of Christ. There's a better way. There's good news found in Christ. The world offers all kinds of therapies, and we talked about that a little bit before the break, with the goal of making you feel better or managing symptoms or helping you to cope or regain control. I'm sure that we have all heard those terms. I love what MacArthur says. He says, you can't sanctify a lie by slapping a Bible verse on it. So if the method that the world is offering doesn't come from the Word of God, it's not going to be of much good to us. Now, my friend, Dr. Greg Gifford, he just published a book called Lies My Therapist Told Me. Highly recommend that. Go check it out. Read that alongside of Francine's assessment of The Body Keeps the Score, and I think you'll start getting the bigger picture here. There's a difference in thinking of trauma as a diagnosis that's based on symptoms that results in a label. Trauma in the Bible is actually the word trauma. It's never used. It's never used in Scripture. Scripture does talk about being crushed in spirit. That's Psalm 34:18. It talks about being afflicted in lots and lots of places. You could find it in Psalm 119:71. Scripture also addresses people who are mourning, Matthew 5:4. And the broader categories of suffering and sin are throughout God's word. So although we don't see the word trauma, we do understand that the effects, the experiences of someone who's gone through a horrible situation, and then the heart responses, fear, anger, despair, all of these things are addressed in light of God's word. For the world, with the goal of helping someone feel better or reducing distress or promoting some kind of coping mechanisms, only comes part of the way. The Bible wants to help you and help me become more like Christ. Romans 8:29 says, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. So through suffering, that's how we are conformed to Christ. The process of change that's offered by the world is so temporary. But the change that the Bible offers, the heart transformation, this is ultimate change. It's lasting change. It's eternal change that happens through reading and studying the Word of God, through repentance, through growing in your faith and knowledge of God, and the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. You could have fellow believers walking alongside you in this that will bring you the truth of God's word. Maybe a biblical counselor is the answer. Maybe it's a more mature lady in your church that has the ability to disciple you, to pray for you, to call you to Christ-likeness, to bring comfort from God's word, because God is the comforter of our soul. Here's the bottom line. All those secular methods, they treat trauma as a psychological problem that can be solved with human tools, whereas the Bible sees trauma as a form of suffering, one of the ways that we suffer that the gospel speaks directly to and can redeem us from. When we buy in to what the world is selling, that our bodies are to blame, we miss out. We minimize the impact of God's word and the power of the Holy Spirit working in us as believers to redeem all of us, the totality of who you are for God's glory, no matter what has happened to you in your past. The world says through those trauma-informed care models, thanks, Bible, but you're not enough for this. God's word says something else, something greater. 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17 says, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable. 2 Peter 1:3, his divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Hebrews 4:12, the word of God is living and active, piercing to the division of soul and spirit. So good news today, my friends, you are not stuck. You do not have to manage your way through the rest of your life. God's word is not just helpful, it's sufficient. It addresses every wound of the heart. The world's goal, symptom relief, just feel better. But God's goal, sanctification, to make us more like Christ. And what does the Bible actually say to those who suffer? It gives us honesty, like Job's honesty, David's laments, Peter's encouragement to rejoice in suffering. The gospel transforms us in the inner man, even if the pain doesn't go away overnight. The Bible gives us a model of not denying trauma or pretending like something doesn't hurt or going through life just managing your way through. It's not about slapping a Bible verse on your pain and moving on. It's bringing all of you, your whole story, everything that you've experienced, all the bad and all the good, and your sins and your fears, bringing all of that to the feet of Jesus, to the foot of the cross, and believing that the gospel is big enough for your deepest pain. It's letting God have the final say, not your experiences. Psalm 34:18 says, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. And Romans 5, it reminds us that suffering actually produces good stuff, endurance, character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame. So if you're struggling today, if you have gone through something that maybe someone has labeled for you as trauma, hear me when I say you are not just a product of your past. In Christ, you're a new creation. Your body does not have the final say. Your body is not keeping the score. There is hope and healing and a way forward by being transformed by the love and truth of God. So acknowledge your pain honestly. Psalm 88, Lamentations 3. As I've said, Job's cries of his heart, David's laments. Connect your suffering with God's sovereign purposes. Cry out to God, trust him, and trust that the ultimate healing that you're looking for comes through Christ's wounds. And it may not be physical healing. It starts with the inner man. The gospel doesn't just help us cope with trauma. It redeems our past. It shifts us from this idea that we're a victim of what's happened to us to God has redeemed me. I'm his. We're not defined by what has been done to us, what's happened to us. And we're not defined by maybe the pain that you're currently experiencing today, physical pain. Maybe you are having some residual effects of things that have happened to you in the past. The answer is not specifically physical pain relief, although I know if you're suffering, that sure would be a wonderful answer to prayer. The answer is in what Christ has done for you on an eternal scale, where your hope lies, where you fix your gaze if the physical pain doesn't stop here on this earth. And listen, the best news of the day, the gospel offers forgiveness, both to the sufferer and the sinner. Guess what that means? Let the hair on the back of your neck stand up for this one. The person who sinned against you, the one who caused the trauma, he doesn't deserve forgiveness. She doesn't deserve forgiveness. But scripture says we forgive because of what we have been forgiven. So even as a victim of some horrendous experience, there's stuff you have to deal with in your own heart, bitterness, guilt, shame, your own sinful responses to the situation. But you can also work towards an attitude of forgiveness this towards the one who has offended you, which is going to guard your heart against bitterness. So here it is in a nutshell. The Bible doesn't dismiss trauma. It actually speaks directly to it with clarity, with compassion, with power. Unlike the secular trauma-informed counseling models and coping strategies, God's word offers lasting hope, heart transformation, true healing through Christ. So stop just trying to manage your pain and turn to Christ, turn to the truth of God's word, because scripture is sufficient and trustworthy and unchanging and our ultimate anchor in every storm. Don't sell yourself short. Don't let the world lie to you and tell you that the problem is only with your body. Address your heart with the truth of God's word and the hope of the gospel. And now that you know the better way to think about trauma and trauma-informed care, and if our bodies really do keep the score, and the hope that only Christ can bring, put it into practice for your good and God's glory.
This has been The Better Way with Libby Glosson, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed The Better Way with Libby Glosson, would you consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? And also, would you consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until tomorrow, go serve your King.